Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
My man, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
You are a one-name guy. Like, everybody just knows you as Vern.
That's very nice.
It is true, though, right?
That would make my late grandfather very happy.
It's true. And I have to say, Vern, I listen to you all the time. You do the pre- and post-game show for the Royals, and you did it a while ago, and then somehow they took you off, and then you went back to it. And I remember thinking when they took you off, like, you guys just took off the best, honest to God, the best guy in the business. Like, what you do on the radio is as good as anywhere in the country. Like, you know, radio's a weird thing, and I'm sure sports in itself are weird. Like, they never can just let a good thing be good, right? Like, they're like, oh, but what if we took this good thing and kind of fucked it all up? Like, did all these different things. Like, no, you have, like, honest to God, I've been across the country in radio so too many times. I've listened to you, and I'm like, this guy could do this anywhere, nationally, for anybody, and for whatever reason, he's here. Don't fuck it up. So I'm glad you're back, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, that's all a reflection of my laziness that I'm still here.
Oh, yeah.
But also, I played a role in effing the whole thing up as well. I'm soft, so I bailed on the Royals in like 2018, 2019. You could see that it was going to be garbage for a while. So sure. I'm like, hey, are there any other options here at the station?
Right.
Because watching another team barrel towards 100 losses doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, I thought, man, what you do is great. It really is. But let's just get into baseball, because I think you have as much knowledge as anybody I've ever heard talk about the game, with maybe, you know, with exceptions, maybe Vin Scully. I don't know.
Sure. I'll give him the edge. Sure.
Yeah. Right. But I go to the games. I'm at the games a lot. I've seen you out there. My kids are fans.
Speaking of which, I was listening to the podcast as my plane was descending into spring training, listening to your son call his shot that the Royals were going to the postseason.
Isn't it crazy?
It was impressive, and at the time, I'm like, yeah, he knows what he's talking about. He's bringing up names that, you know, the average sports fan doesn't know, but he was the first one that I heard
there
say Royals are going to the postseason, so shout out to him.
But let's start with this. It's a really exciting time to be a Royals fan, and what are they like? I mean, we're 17 games left or something? Like, it is the stretch, and if you're a baseball fan, it's really exciting. I think people be a lot like other sports. They're like, I'm a Royals fan. Right. I don't know if there's baseball fans. There's football fans.
There's few.
Right. But last night, you know, me and my boys are watching the Mariners-Padres game. Bases loaded, you know, Cal Raleigh, 30, you know. And that's exciting to me. Yeah. I don't know that that happens a lot in baseball. You either have that or you don't. But you become a Royals fan, and people seem incredibly excited about this team right now.
Baseball's with you every day, right? It goes in the car with you. It's in the backyard. It's in the garage while you're working on the car. It becomes a friend. And when they're good, you want to hang out with that friend a little bit more. Now, the issue is, and
I think... That's fair. Yeah, right.
The problem right now with baseball and why there aren't as many fans that are checking in on a Padres-Mariners game if they're anywhere outside of San Diego or Seattle is because 162 games is a touch too much in 2024, even though I love it. I love the grind. That is a six-month season. I don't know if 10, 12 teams need to make the postseason after you play 162 times. I think I got a pretty good idea of who the best four, who the best six are. But I think that right now is hurting the game of baseball in that I'll miss tonight's game. I can catch it tomorrow. Well, you know what? I'm not going to go out tomorrow. I'll go the next time they
come
back in town.
Did you find it more exciting? And COVID was obviously not a great time. But you look back on that sprint, and like, hey, you know, if we could go to games and it was that sprint, maybe we go back to that?
Yeah, I like the way that minor league baseball does it in that they cut it into two seasons, right? You could have two different trade deadlines. I think there's a way to go about keeping every city in it without playing 162 games and going, all right, now who can win 15 games in the course of the next month? And, you know, October, what we're about to embark on once again in Kansas City, yeah, that is going to make lifetime fans here in Kansas City. When you when you watch the game being played at its highest level, yeah, that should allow the game to sink its claws into quite a few people here in Kansas City and turn a lot of people into Royals fans.
Well, let me ask you that, because that leads to something we were kind of talking about off the air when you walked in. Did you grow up in Michigan? You grew up in Michigan, right? So we grew up in similar areas. Yeah. And so, you know, there was those years in the 80s, you know, when the Tigers were good and, you know, I was a little kid. I can still in my head go back, and I know Larry Herndon played left field, Chet Lemon played center field, you know, Kirk Gibson, I know Dan Petrie too, trading for Doyle Alexander, you know, Doug Bear, Barbro Garbay. Nobody knows these fucking names, and no one cares, right? No one cares. But those years, I just came in. My dad never watched sports in his life, couldn't give a shit about sports. Like, it didn't matter to him. You know, I don't even think he watched a full Super Bowl in his life. But during those years, when I came home or was, you know, taking a shower and had to go to bed, you know, I could stay up a little bit later if it was a night game because the Tigers were always fucking on.
Right.
And it felt like that in 2014, 2015. Does it feel like that now? My question is, because it's not on TV all the time. And I know for us older guys, radio's great. But I feel like my kids are like, well, you want me to listen to a game?
Sure.
You know what I mean? They're, you know, 13 years old.
Yeah. Just,
you know, I think, actually, I don't even know if it's just because of today's day and age. I think at 13, if you were like, hey, I'm like, I was aware that it was on AM radio or FM for you guys now, but I'm like, well, turn on the TV.
Right.
Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's hard to fall in love with Bobby Witt Jr. if you don't
watch
him
Bobby
perform.
Witt Jr. do crazy things.
You know,
right.
Then after you see him a few times, now I'll let Denny Matthews tell me the story. But I want to get my eyes on him. And, you know, it's difficult for people to go out to many games over the course of a season. Being unable to make those relationships with the players, it certainly hurts. My question is, I understand you don't want another app, but the I can't get the games. I'm wondering if it's proved to me why I should go out there and get the games. You know, I'm wondering how much of that is happening around the country. I think it's more than just a Kansas City thing. I think it's happening in a lot of cities where it's difficult to find the Major League Baseball team in your town. Los Angeles, Phoenix, you know, a lot of those teams are going to lose access because of Bally Sports or whoever they're, you know, wherever they're supposed to watch the games. But you know, that to me is more of a reflection of where baseball is in 2024. The NFL is such a powerhouse, just dominates everything, that the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, soccer, they're all just reaching for scraps. And, you know, baseball to me has, again, too much supply to where they can't really play into the drama the same way that the NBA does or the NHL does.
All right. Well, I read, and I'm sure you keep track of it, and we'll get past this in a second, but those contracts could come to an end here shortly, like in 2025 or something, and maybe we'll be able to watch baseball without downloading the Bally apps, which always fucking logs me out. Like, that's the other thing. You can't just build an app.
Right.
You can't just build an app. It has to be a good app.
Yeah, it's crappy.
Right.
No, the Amazon's the right?
Right, yes, of course.
That's an app that just about everybody has.
And it works.
Baseball's never going to be over, you know, live television. It's never going to be the NFL. You're not going to be able to get it for free because the game's just not doing as well.
Right.
I mean, even when you watch any local, you know, I watch MLB Network, I'm watching all the games. You watch the commercials, it's not Rolex, it's, you know, it's not car companies.
You're right.
You need a cath, you know, what's going on? How you feeling?
Lots of life insurance.
Right.
All right, so now let's talk about the Royals, the team that we have. There's so much to talk about because if you take this season from the beginning to the end, the beginning being, we're going to build a fucking stadium. And people saying, fuck you. No, you're not.
Where?
Yeah. Right. You suck. Your team sucks. You see it on Facebook. Like, you know, you lose 100 fucking games. Leave. Go to Memphis, you fucker. I'm like, yo, guys, let's slow down.
Right.
It's really cool to have a baseball team here.
Because they will.
Yeah. Yes, because they will. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. People always do that challenge, and it's like, no, don't. Because literally, like, the owner seems like a good guy. I don't know him. Never met him. Seems like a decent guy. Seems like he likes Kansas City. And from what I can tell, wants to win. But I don't think you get his money with being like, hey, Memphis offered you a shit ton more money, and him not going, okay, or I'll look at it, right? So we get past that. So I would love to go back to all those Facebook posts that were when they were talking about Bill and Stan, like, fuck you, Royals assholes. Get out of here, too. Bobby Witt Jr. is the greatest one. If we just scroll that through, you know, 140 games, what that sentiment has changed. And I think it's crazy to think we always talk about it and we say it, but it usually takes so long to happen that it's a gradual build from move to Memphis, you suck, to can I get playoff tickets and how many thousands of dollars will they cost? Yeah. But we saw that happen in the course of a summer.
I still don't think they want to build the stadium, though. I still don't think they want to be taxed for the stadium. Yeah, you're playing well. Bobby's a hell of a player. But, you know what? If you got to ask someone else for some money, because I ain't got anything right now. Yeah, no, and that's really an amazing reflection of the front office. Again, you know the game. You know how difficult it is to go from 100 losses to a team that is now headed to the postseason. It was, a front office led by a general manager that's going to win the executive of the year with, you know, moves that he made last year at the deadline, this year at the deadline, and then, of course, this past off season. But as far as fan sentiment, yeah, it's swayed. They feel better about the team. But, yeah, again, the connection's not as strong as it was in 14 and 15 because of the television aspect that you bring up. You look at attendance, the bottom five in Major League Baseball. Bobby's been unbelievable since game one this season.
Yes.
Salvi made a run at the Triple Crown over the first few months of the season. This rotation has been elite all year. Cole Reagans.
So much to talk about.
So many reasons to go, they still are, you know what? I can't win when I go down this road when you talk about people go out and support your team.
Right.
But again, growing up in Michigan, seeing 3 million go out and support the Tigers, you know, pretty consistently in my adult life. Even going to Milwaukee for 5 years, they turned out 3 million in Milwaukee. And
what will it be here?
Three.
It's a big difference.
Yeah. And I know the sports fans are in Kansas City. I'm just always surprised at, you know, especially now. I mean, the most recent homestand was the smallest Friday crowd they've had since April. So
really?
Yeah, to me, that's a reflection of what you're talking about, and that you don't have that relationship with the team where, man, I want to be there to support my guys that I've been with for the past 5 months.
Because baseball really has to. It wasn't always like that. Baseball was always, to me, like right there, right behind the NFL. But it really has turned into a hockey. I guess in this town, soccer, in the sense that, man, if you don't build that connection with the audience, it's more of, hey, did you hear the Royals won again? Holy shit, did you hear that? As opposed to, hey, did you see Bobby last night?
Right.
It's really the difference. You don't ever hear anybody say, hey, man, I heard Mahomes play good yesterday.
Right.
That doesn't fucking happen.
Right. No, people get the Mahomes haircut. They get the Hosmer haircut.
Because they have this connection to them. And baseball, you know, in some cities is really good at delivering that.
Yeah.
Really good at delivering that. But I think it starts with getting these guys, these people, these amazing athletes who are doing just crazy things in a sport that we all played.
Right.
Like, you know, that's different from football, too. Like, there is, people say baseball is such a nostalgic sport. It is, and we still count Babe Ruth as one of the best, which I don't know if he could hit a home run today or not. I don't know. But it's also nostalgic because we fucking played it. Like, I hit the ball. I know what it feels like to barrel a ball to deep center field. I know what it feels like, and most people know that.
Right.
And so that's the, you know, like you almost get chills just thinking about it. Like, I know what that feels like. So when you can start to make those connections and you see guys like Bobby Witt do it at such an extreme level, I don't know what it feels like to try to cover Travis Kelce.
No idea.
Right.
But no. I know you got to be able to field that ground ball if you're going to be
exactly.
professional. Yep. It allows me to stand up confidently and call you a bum
when
you don't make that play.
Right, exactly.
See, my question for you guys would be, you know, does society have the attention span nowadays to lock in for 162 for a month and a half, for 2.5 hours on a nightly basis to watch their home team?
Well, I think
you
could
do it once
a
week for the NFL.
But they did it in 2014, 2015, right? You could watch it on TV at the time, which was a huge issue. And I know, I will say one of the things about how many games there are, which is something you hear people talk about all the time. But if you're going to have someone pay for a subscription-based services app where you have to watch the games, that hurts you as well with this each game not meaning so much, right? Because, oh, the game's on tonight. Well, if a football game's on tonight, it matters. It's a big deal. You can't watch it. I got to figure out how to sign up for this. Whereas each baseball game, you know, for the first few months, there's just not that game where you go, hey, this is a big game. I've been meaning to sign up for it. Because it's just...
And everyone's telling you, hey, it's a long, long season.
Yeah,
calm down.
Exactly. So I do think those things play hand in hand. But when the Royals were good, and because I was born in 82, so when the Royals went to the World Series, I have no recollection of that at all in 85. But I'd hear my older brothers talk about it, and I'd hear my dad talk about it. And I didn't really truly... I always rooted for the Royals, went to a lot of games, but I didn't really truly become a fan of baseball until... The Royals got good. And Laszlo can vouch for that. Like, I was asking questions, right. and I still think to this day when someone says to me, baseball, it's kind of boring, whatever, I think immediately, you don't know how it's played. You know what I mean? You don't know the rules. You don't know the unspoken rules, the things that make it such a beautiful game. I hate to say that.
But do we sound like soccer fans with all due respect
to
soccer fans?
Sometimes we can, but there's a lot of fucking soccer fans in the world.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I'm not one, really.
No, I know you're not, but you are a baseball fan, so we can at least...
We can be elitist as baseball fans.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, you don't get it. Yeah, of course you don't get it.
No, but I want you to get it. I do want you to get it. I'm like, man, if you would just watch the games, but then they can't watch the games.
Right.
Right? So that's the problem.
Yeah. But, yeah... I'm quick to dismiss some people as, okay, you're just dumb, right?
Right, yes.
You just want to overreact and you're not truly investing in the X's and O's of the game.
But I feel like, yes, I understand the 162 and we get to that, but baseball also, it's massive on radio. Massive on radio.
Crushes, yes.
So baseball isn't... Football, when you watch it, you're almost a participant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Baseball can be a passive thing that you watch that's on... In the living room, and you cook lunch, and then you go out for a minute, you water the lawn, you come back on, the game's on, yeah. Right? And then you're like, who hit a home run? What happened? Like, so I think I'm not definitely sold that it's the length of the season,
right.
As much as
it
is.
Well, I think what you're talking about then is the reflection of the. It's a provincial game, and that Yeah, I'm always following, like Swim says, I'm always following the Royals.
Right.
But how do we get more people like you and your family to where, we're and I know you have Mariners fans, but we're watching the Padres. We're watching Ronald Acuna. We want to invest in other teams the same way we all do in the NFL.
Right.
We all know at least 15 other starting quarterbacks. But I would be shocked if the average sports fan can tell me 15 other starting pitchers
around
Major League Baseball.
Right.
That to me is how you get invested in the Mariners. How you get invested in the Braves or the Phillies is by, eliminating Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night games. I'd go, Thursday night, Friday night, doubleheader on Saturday, doubleheader on Sunday. Make it more of an event
at
the ballpark, not something that I'll
it's
catch
passive,
the next
which
time.
I'm saying, like, it's good, it's on the radio.
Of course, there's a game. Yeah, there's always a game.
There's always a game going on.
Right. All right, so let's talk about the Royals this year.
Okay.
Well, I guess we'll start with this, and I think you brought up that my son said that they would make it to the postseason. He also, we heard you guys talking about it on a postgame show, something to the extent of somebody saying, hey, this is a team that's on the rise. They're getting better. If it doesn't happen this year, this is a team that's in the right direction. And he looked at me and he said, are we all thinking that Seth Lugo's going to be a fucking Cy Young? Like, this is one of those things where it's like, yo, you got some good players, but let's not pretend like this isn't, we haven't caught a little magic in the bottle with this starting rotation, some of these guys. Like, we don't have a past history that we just went out and got Verlander.
Right.
We got Seth Lugo, and boy, he's been great. But I don't think there's any guarantee that he pitches like this next year. At least there hasn't been any proof. That's what he said to me.
Yeah.
I don't really trust him that, you know, he's a little shit.
But. Well, he's right on that. Seth Lugo, you know, going to be 35 next year. Michael Wacha likely to depart in free agency. Salvi, you can't imagine, is going to duplicate what he's doing this season next year at the age of 35. I think the reason for optimism moving forward, if you're a Royals fan, is... Well, Major League Baseball now is a general manager's game, right? The NBA, it's a superstars game. The NFL, it's a head coach's game, quarterback game. Sure. If you have a really good general manager in Major League Baseball, I think you're going to stay in it. You're going to remain competitive. That's what's happened in Cleveland, and Milwaukee just changed their general manager, but that guy laid a pretty nice foundation. Tampa, L.A., and if you look at what J.J. Piccolo and his front office have done from acquiring Cole Reagans last year at the trade deadline, who right now, you know,
is unbelievable.
One of the five best pitchers on the planet. So you're going to have him for at least the next three, four, five seasons. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Obviously, with Bobby, you have that cornerstone piece. Vinny Pasquantino, that cornerstone piece. But in 1 year and a half, he brought in one of the five best starting pitchers in Cole Reagans. He won this year's offseason by acquiring the aforementioned Lugo and Wacha. And then this year at the deadline, and even after Vinny Pasquantino went down, the moves that he made to improve the roster reflect an organization that is, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, right? Is drafting and developing, is improving their team in all of the facets in which you must if you're going to remain competitive in a market like Kansas City, in a sport like Major League Baseball, where there isn't that salary cap. I mean, this team needs to hit on like 75-80% of its moves, and a year and a half in, he's done just that. To go from 106 losses to right now on pace for 88 victories is, a reflection of a very aggressive owner, a competitive owner, but man... he's going to win Executive of the Year for that reason. So that's why I'm confident moving forward.
What does the rest of this season look like for the Royals? I mean, I saw him yesterday watching that Mariners game for whatever reason, and it was like, I was like, wait, the Mariners are four games out of the lead.
Right.
But four and a half, closer in the division than they are to the wild card. Like, and then I'm like, you know, the Tigers are there. The Red Sox don't seem to, they seem to just kind of stick around. Like, you're like, when are you guys going to be the ones that drop off? And they don't. And so, you know, and then, of course, you know, Cleveland. And so, I mean, the Royals, I mean.
I can't believe Seattle hasn't made it. I can't believe they haven't made a move. That rotation is the best in baseball, just refuse to
their fifth starter yesterday they brought out, and they're like, he has a 1.50 ERA.
They, like the Brewers, like the Rays, and hopefully like the Royals, just have a pitching factory, which is going to keep them in the races, you know, for years to come, you would think. As far as the rest of the regular season for the Royals, man, to me it's just about health and building or maintaining confidence. To me, there are no more tests. There's nothing left to prove. It's, you know, just try to feel good as you enter October, because as we've seen plenty over the past, all it takes is one swing and all of a sudden you're a hero in Kansas City forever. Yeah. Mike Moustakas was awful in 2014, gets to the postseason, hits a game-winning home run, and, you know, his next stop is the Royals Hall of Fame. He's a legend here.
Right.
So, you know, for as nice as it would be if the Royals could track down Cleveland and win the division, whatever. You saw it last year with Arizona, the year before in Philadelphia. Just get hot for like 4 weeks and you can win the whole thing. So,
are you saying there's no chance they... I mean, it sounds to me like you're like, these guys are in the playoffs, just cruise through it now?
Yeah. If they gag this away...
Okay.
Yeah, 4.5 up with 15 to play. Detroit's the closest. You know, Tarek Skubal's a stud. I like Riley Green. I just don't think Detroit really has the talent. And I think when they get, you know,
no,
Detroit
I think they went the opposite way of the Royals. They were like, we're not going to catch them. We'll get rid of some of these players.
And they've won 20 of their last 28. But if they get back into it, I think they'll pucker up a little bit.
Yeah,
I think they'll
so
get
too.
Tired. I think they'll fall short. So, yeah, I think the Royals are going to the postseason, which is just mind-blowing.
That's crazy to think, isn't it? Is Bobby Witt Jr. the best player on the planet?
Yeah, as long as Shohei isn't pitching, yeah, Bobby's the best player. I think he should be the American League MVP. I understand.
Do you think he'll lose it to Judge?
I do, just out of name recognition. You know, people get enamored with home runs and
home runs are cool.
Yeah, and I normally gaze towards OPS, and that tends to lead towards Aaron Judge. But what he's doing, you know, you and I have seen happen 15, 20, 30 times in our lives, more than 55 home runs.
Right.
What Bobby's doing, you know, that's never been done by a shortstop. It's been done by outfielders from the Colorado Rockies playing in, you know, Coors Field in its first year of existence. But to do what Bobby's doing at the position in which he's doing it, he's unlike anything we've really ever seen outside of Alex Rodriguez just chomping on some steroids. That's the closest comp, in my opinion, to Bobby Witt.
What do you mean by what he's doing? For people who haven't been following, when you say the only guy at shortstop to do what he does, what do you mean by that?
Well, he's the best defensive shortstop in the game, statistically.
Real quick, let me stop you right there, because that wasn't the case last year.
Right. No,
it feels like
below average.
Yeah, and so, I mean, when you really look at that, and then, you know, but you're like, everything was there except for he, you know, but, you know, it's so hard for a guy like me to be like, well, you're a below average fielder. It's like,
sure,
you look pretty fucking good out there to me. But compared to other guys who play that position, you're a below average fielder. And then I hear in the offseason, he's like, well, I don't want to be that, so I'll just work at it. And now, okay.
Right.
Like,
and I mentioned Shohei
Ohtani. I don't have that quality in anything in my life. I can't work that hard to get better. Right? I mean, he did it.
No, I haven't improved at any in anything since I was like 23. But Shohei Ohtani takes, you know, the year off from pitching because of Tommy John surgery. Says, I'm going to dedicate myself to base running. And now he's about to become the first player ever to hit 50 home runs and steal 50 bases. He's only been caught 4 times. Yeah, he's a freak. Bobby's a freak because, yes, he goes from a below average defender to the best in the business. He's the fastest player in Major League Baseball, statistically. He leads Major League Baseball in batting average. He's second in extra base hits, so doubles, triples, and homers. He's second in the game in that. So he hits for power. He hits for average. He has one of the strongest arms.
And he's faster than like these pinch runners that teams would bring in. He's fast.
His sprint speed is number one.
Okay, he's the fastest.
He said in high school he ran a 4.3 40, and he believes he's faster now.
Wow.
So yeah, he's and then yeah, of all the five tools,
I only know
right,
because you guys do that game.
Yes.
In the outfield where the guys try to run against Bobby.
Which really hasn't been all that entertaining. We did have someone pull up lame.
Oh, okay. Well, that would have been good. All right.
Finally, someone pulled their hamstring, so that was fun to see. But he's hitting at the top of the lineup. He's played every single game. He's only had one day off as a designated hitter. Playing shortstop is, you know, next to catchers, the most taxing position on the field. So to answer the bell at that position, to deliver offensively, to remain healthy, to lead the team, to hit in the top of the lineup, he's just carried the team really all season. So, no, you've never seen a shortstop do that. The closest, again, A-Rod, maybe Cal Ripken back in his MVP season of 1991.
Wow. Wow.
But, you know, the reason why he's MVP is also because he's carrying his team to the postseason. I know Aaron Judge is doing the same, but Aaron Judge has... You know, the guy who's second in Major League Baseball in OPS, and Juan Soto hitting right behind him, while Bobby certainly doesn't have that. Salvi's solid, but he's not Juan Soto.
Right. But Salvi has had an amazing year.
Yeah. He cemented his Hall of Fame candidacy, in my opinion.
Right. I don't know that I've ever seen this. I'm sure it's happened, and I'm sure you'll be able to name 30 people who've done it. But what a ride for Salvi to be that catcher during, you know, the 14-15 season with all these, like, we got young guys and we're bringing guys in and, you know, and then, like, okay, well, that's gone now and now we're just going to lose 100 games and, like, all right, I'll still go back there and catch. And then to go through and be like, whoa, we got back here. I can't really think of a guy that's just, you know, stuck with a team for 10 years through such an up and down roller coaster ride where every night he's just behind the plate.
Not to have the bad be so bad in the right. middle. No, I can't think of anyone, especially like you mentioned, playing that position, which is grueling in Kansas City, right? Getting behind the dish in August while you're 50 and 100. No, I'm going to take myself out. And that's what's actually the most impressive. It isn't what he's doing lately, even though he's having a great year. And boy, this recent stretch of 20 straight games against only playoff teams, he was at his best. He hit 300, an OPS north of 900, just a stud at the age of 34 with more than 700 innings already behind the dish on the season. But you look at what he did in 18, 19, 20, 21, the garbage seasons outside of the one that he missed due to injury. You know, he's setting the franchise record in home runs. He's coming back from COVID better than ever. He had this one situation where he had blurriness in his eye and he still caught through it. I mean, catching 98, I can barely see. I don't want to. And he's hitting bombs. The fact that he continued to answer the bell for his teammates, for that organization, when he could have easily said, hey, you know what? My knee's barking. Put me on the 15-day IL. Right. And they would have said, no problem, Salvi. And we all would have understood. Even last year, we would have understood if they would have traded him away. But he decides to stick through it, and I'll tell you this. If they get to October, I think we'll see something out of Salvi that we've never – you know, I think we'll see a level – you know, we could talk, you know, Willie Mays, Carl Yastrzemski, some of the greats that when they get that one last chance at the end of their career, they really pick it up.
Well,
I think we'll see that.
He's the most beloved, right? I mean, he cemented that with when you go back to being kind of the team captain – for those World Series years. I mean, you heard it over and over and over again. Everyone said, it's all because of Salvi. You know, he really got these guys coalesced, got them to play like a team. He just, you know, they needed that spark. And I didn't disagree with that. I think that looked totally accurate to me. People just love him. And growing up here, you know, it was George Brett. And I always wondered, will the Royals ever have a player like in my lifetime that I get to see come up and play from a young age that then we end up naming highways after and talk about all the time? I don't know about you guys, but I think Salvi is absolutely that guy.
Well, he's certainly no on that level.
Loved.
I would say he has the second best Royals career already. Probably
and
second
that's arguable,
most beloved.
Right? It's arguable that he could be the best Royal ever right now.
And George.
I think
George just being in the Hall of Fame right now, and his numbers across the board, I think you still give the edge to George. Bobby, I think, will be the one.
Right.
When it's all said and done, he'll go down
when it's all
as
said
greatest.
And done, sure.
And to be honest, watching those two together, you know, for as much as we all recognize we're watching history with Patrick and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid, you know, Bobby and Salvi will probably never see a combination like that again. A shortstop, a catcher. Both likely destined for the Hall of Fame. Yeah, it's historic. We mentioned Lugo and Reagan's. I think that's arguably the greatest duo this team has ever seen. But yeah, if there's the Mount Rushmore, yeah, Salvi's on it. George is on it. And then we could debate about the other two. But yeah, no doubt those two are top two in franchise history.
Well, speaking of football, do you think that the luck that Kansas City fans have had being spoiled these last few years, you think that hurts the Royals? Because I feel like going back to those Royals World Series runs, for people my age and people around my age, we'd never experienced any type of championship like that. Now, and I've talked to Lazo about this off the air a million times. You know, is it more fun to win a World Series or is it more fun to win a Super Bowl? And then you hear some people say, well, you know, a town is either a football town or it's a baseball town. And they can have both teams, but there's the one that they're always going to watch come hell or high water, no matter how the team's doing. So I don't know if it's because the first real, you know, major championship that I got to be a part of experience as it was happening were those World Series games, or if it's just because I like baseball, but I just thought there was something so magical. Not that there isn't about the Super Bowl, because of course there is. But I think, you know, it almost goes back to what you guys were talking about earlier, that because baseball is a regional sport, we definitely felt like those guys were our guys.
Yeah.
That those are our guys. Oh, you guys don't even know. They have to tell you who these guys are every time you watch a game in the playoffs, because you have no fucking clue. But we know these people, we love them, and we watch them every day on TV. And I just felt like we had this connection with that team. And of course, you know, a World Series is quite different than a Super Bowl, for better or for worse. I think for me, in a lot of ways, I just still might give the edge to the World Series.
Well, one, it's played here.
Yeah.
You know, I think you can, and even if you don't go, you got a shot to go.
Yep.
You're talking to people about going, someone you know is going, you're thinking about going, you can get them. Where if you're like, hey, the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, I'm like, well, I'm fine.
Can't afford that shit. Yeah, right.
It doesn't even cross your mind.
It's right. No, it's not even like, you know, you don't even kick it around. You're like, yeah, well, okay, no.
I would say the Chiefs' success has helped the Royals because it's, it's changed the city into the, you know, from the, oh, we'll screw it up somehow. You know, we're not.
Yeah.
And now you know you can win. You expect to win. And at times the fans are finally starting to demand that the team wins. So, you know, I mean, you have to, like we talked about earlier, you have to believe that the owners took notice of that, hey, there are other options now in this town. We can't just deliver garbage and expect them to turn out to Kauffman Stadium. No, we need to be aggressive this offseason, try to put a winner on the field, and, you know, hopefully people will turn out. I think they will start showing up in years to follow after this run this season. But, yeah, I think the Chiefs have helped push this organization. And, yeah, the reason why you remember 14 and 15 so fondly is because, yeah, it was the first championship run the city had seen in forever. But also just the day-in, day-out nature of it. The wake up in the morning, and most of us, you knew who was on the mound.
Yeah.
You knew who was pitching for the other team. You knew what the series was. It was the first thing. And I don't have kids, so maybe you think about your kids first. But after that, you start thinking
baseball first.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, you start to plan it out. Okay, 7 o'clock. You know, I'm going to be here. And then tomorrow night it's game three. And if we, you're just always making plans around baseball. While with the Super Bowl, it's 2 weeks away. Okay, yeah. Of course, we all know we'll be together for the Super Bowl.
That's fair. What do you think their shots are in the playoffs? How about that? When you say they're in, when they get there.
Well, pitching, defense, and elite base running, to me, is the key come October, and that's what the Royals have more so than just about anybody in the game. Now, Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans, Michael Wacha will be your three starting pitchers, and you can move, you know, the other Brady Singer, Alec Marsh, or Michael Lorenzen, you can move them to the bullpen.
How is he? Do you get to see those guys a lot and see him, and, like, are they really healthy? Are they not healthy? How's he doing?
Well, no one's going to let on that they're banged up.
Yeah, but like, are you down there and you're like, oh, I see that motherfucker limping.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm fine. You get the report that goes out and they say, oh, everybody's fine. And you're like, that dude, like, I saw Salvia, you can't see.
Sure.
He ran into a wall. Like, there's something wrong with him, right?
Yeah, Lorenzen had a rehab assignment earlier this week. He hopefully will be activated coming up this weekend in Pittsburgh. So I think that's an arm that you throw in the bullpen and he might become immediately your second best right-handed reliever. Look, the Royals postseason.
When they've got some stuff there, right? I mean,
yeah, that Lucas Ursig's been unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
So you can always stretch him out, and you know, come October, the game changes, right? You get a few more off days. Suddenly, your reliever can go two innings every single game because why the hell not? There is no tomorrow. So yeah, you're going to have Lucas Ursig going multiple innings. You have Lugo, Reagans, and Wacha, three of the top, you know, that's right there with Seattle, Philadelphia for the best rotations in baseball. And again, put Bobby and Salvi on the big stage. And I think they have just as good of a chance as anybody else in the American League because of that pitching. I look at New York, Baltimore, Cleveland, Minnesota. You know, Houston's the one team right now where you go, okay, they might have the most pitching in the American League. But, you know, hopefully you don't run into them until the ALCS. And if so, you know, all it takes is one big swing.
Right.
Who can get hot? The Royals have options, just like they did back in 14 and 15. I don't think anyone expected Jason Fraser or Ryan Madsen or Luke Hochaver or Chris Young to be as big as they were in those World Series runs, but they all had big outs, big innings in big games.
And when Vinny got hurt, they brought in guys who can play baseball. You know, that was a thing that kind of shocked me.
I thought they were done.
Me too. And I was like, well, I mean, there's no – how do you can't even get anybody.
Right.
Like, you can't get anybody. Like, the deadlines or whatever. There's nothing for you to do.
They got three guys older than 35.
Right. But all – ball players.
Yeah. And all with players. Rings and playoff experience.
Exactly. And moments that you can look to and be like, oh, he's been here before. Tommy Pham's been here before. And he will also fight you.
He will fuck you up.
Yes, he will. Yes.
As he said earlier this season, I work out this hard because I'm prepared to fuck people up. I love Tommy Pham.
He's one of my all-time favorite players.
And I am very respectful.
I don't know when you see him.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a guy, and yet when I see him, I look down. I'm like, is there anything you need, Mr. Fan? Can I help you?
Well, that's when it felt real to me, is when Lazo said, "Hey, did you see what the moves that the Royals just made?" And I thought, okay, well, the last time I remember this was the World Series runs, right? But that, to me, as a casual fan, shows me that they think they can win, and they're serious about wanting to win.
Yeah.
I mean, what other? That's the biggest sign you can get, right, at that point in the season. I'm like, oh, they seriously have a shot, and they're trying to go all the way.
But unlike 14 and 15, the owner isn't asking the front office to cut corners. Like, when they acquired Johnny Cueto and Ben Zobrist, they had to part with a lot more than what they wanted to offset the money that they were bringing on. That's not happening this season. Oh, that hasn't happened this offseason with their free agent signings. It's just give us the best you have. We don't care about money. We'll worry about money down the road. So, again, another quality reflection on the owner that a lot of people still do not like. I don't know why. He's very philanthropic, but whatever.
Right.
I just sound like I'm licking his boots.
Right. But and that's what they'll say if you say, hey, I like this guy.
Yeah. Right. No, he's
what you want as an owner.
I mean, you remember when, before Mr. Ilitch died in Detroit, it was just whatever it takes. He's throwing money.
I want to win one.
Please.
Right.
John Sherman, to me, is as close as it gets to a fan having $1 billion.
Right, exactly.
You know, I hope you guys get $1 billion. I hope I get $1 billion, and then I'll buy the team. But until that happens, he's probably as good as it's going to get.
Right. So he's like a Mark Cuban kind of guy then? Is that what you would compare? I mean, that's kind of what you're describing to me. And I know I've heard Lazo talk about Ilitch before, but a guy with a lot of money who wants to win and wants to be a part of the team and wants to and will spend the money to try and get that team.
I don't understand why there'd be anything else. I mean, there's other ways to make money. This to me is just a way for billionaires to compete for a trophy.
Right.
What else are you in it for?
I never understood that. Why buy a team and then not spend any money? Like, it's like you got. I would think in order to get that far in business, which I don't know what that takes, but it feels like it's almost the same kind of mentality skill set that it takes to get to play Major League Baseball. That competitive mindset and nothing will stop me. And really, sorry, man, like if you're you're a better second baseman than me on the high school team, I will fucking kill you.
Right.
Right. And the same thing, like, oh, you got a better business idea? Well, fucking take it. Yeah. Like, that's that mindset to get there. And most people don't have it. That's why these guys are where they are. I don't understand why guys get there. They buy the team and then they're like, yeah, I'm not spending any money. Like,
you know, they say there are, you know, you could invest in, Wall Street.
You already know how to
make
money.
More money.
Like, you already know how to make money. So why are you this is not I know they get the team, then they sell it and they make a lot of money 10 years later. But for the idea of making money, those guys already know how to make money. They know how to make money, and they have a competitive spirit.
I mean, I know the vanity that owners have, and you see it more so in some than others, but the idea that, yeah, you're right. I mean, if you want to make money, first of all, you obviously already know how. You're very successful at it. And, yeah, like you said, Laz, you buy the team for $300 million, and 10 years later, it's worth $1 billion. That's a good investment. But they know how to make money other ways.
Right.
And they say statistically, and I'm an idiot, but they, S&P 500.
Right, okay, sure.
You put your money there, you're going to make it
more.
Is more so than
really?
Owning a team.
So
again,
there it is.
I'm an
right.
idiot. But.
So
right.
this is just about wanting to own a team, which you would assume means wanting to win.
To me, there's only two reasons to own a team, and that's ego and civic pride, right? You love your city, or you know what? I have the biggest,
right,
and
sure.
I want to show my billionaire friends that mine is the biggest. I think the Royals have a guy that's like 51-49 civic pride, which is pretty cool. You know, for as appreciative growing up as I was that the Ilitch family was throwing sure. money at the hockey team and the baseball team, they were also allowing things in Detroit to just get dilapidated
yes,
so that they could
right.
buy
yes.
it at a very cheap rate. I don't think John Sherman's doing that
right,
here.
Right. All right, so you think they got a shot? They got a shot to
no
go
doubt.
All the way?
No doubt. No doubt.
And you make it sound like Houston's the team to beat, then.
Well, I've always thought pitching is it. You get in those series, man. It's like, look, Royals fans, you know it. You really need two, and sometimes you just need Madison Bumgarner.
Right.
Yeah. Right? I mean, when those series get short, it's like...
Well, he single-handedly won that World
exactly.
Series.
Exactly. So it's like, you have that guy... you got two of those guys, you got maybe three of those guys, like, that's once you get in. It's, like you said, all those other things have to kind of, they gotta be lightning in a bottle a little bit because the game's so long. But once you get into a short series, it's like, hey, we got the pitching and our guys aren't hurt. Let's go.
And if you remember the Royals' runs, every single series had a key defensive miscue by the opposition that the Royals pounced on. Bautista with the Blue Jays, Correa with the Astros, Daniel Murphy with the New York Mets. The Royals have, statistically, the best defense in Major League Baseball. So, you know, that too, to go along with the pitching, those to me are the two most powerful weapons come October. And those are the Royals' two most powerful weapons.
The Royals have a Wade Davis in the bullpen?
Well, I don't think you'll ever see a Wade Davis again, but they have a very good closer.
Okay.
I'll say that. They have one of the, you know, of the 12 teams going to the postseason, I'd say he's top half.
I heard you talk in a postgame about Ursig, and this was kind of interesting to me. You know, the game always changes, but, you know, people are talking, saying closer. It made me think of it when you said closer. Yeah. You said you're not going to see him as a closer. He's a leverage pitcher. Is that a new thing where it's like, because, you know, me, again, you know, not to go too much of time, but us growing up at the same time, we have a frame of reference. Like, Willie Hernandez came in, ninth inning, never pitched, you know, an inning. If you pitched an inning in the eighth, it's bad. Mm-hmm. This is not what we wanted.
Right.
He's in there because things are bad. The ninth inning, that's it. But that's not, they don't really do it that way.
No. Now, they would if they had the HDH. If you had three guys where it's boom in the seventh, boom in the eighth, boom in the ninth. But that's just not, since that, everyone's been chasing relievers like HDH. And, you know, they're hard to find. No, now it's, leverage. It's, you know, let's just take this recent series and what the Royals did against Aaron Judge, right? Aaron Judge is likely going to come to the plate four times. Now, for the Royals, they need their starting pitcher to take care of those first three battles with Aaron Judge. But that fourth at-bat, who do you want facing Aaron Judge? You want your best reliever. So if that happens to be in the eighth inning, well, I'm going to put my best reliever in there to go through Aaron Judge and Juan Soto in the eighth. And then my second best reliever can come and hopefully secure those final three outs, which are coming against the bottom of that Yankees lineup. Now, it's good in theory. But you talk to players and they say there's something special about those final three outs where you get a different type of focus from the opposing hitters to where that second best reliever, he's going to not just face, the bottom of the Yankees lineup, but the best that those three hitters have to offer. So there's still a debate on whether or not the riding leverage is the way to go about it. I think it's the way to go.
Okay.
And I think that's exactly what the Royals
are
going to
do. So, I mean, we're going to have to watch it. It's just one of those things that you look back at over the course of your life, you're like, you know, baseball always changes, man. It's always some sort of thing, like, does this work? In my head, just being the age I am, I'm like, no. Like, lose the game in the seventh. Don't lose it in the ninth.
No.
You know, but
the save statistic.
The way you said it makes complete sense. You know, and so, and I think that's, you know, those, you know.
But it's also like players want that ninth inning. Players want the save because that's how they get paid. The more saves you, it's starting to change, right? We're starting to dive deeper into numbers.
Is that a hold stat?
Yeah, holds, and then you just dive into some of the nerdy metrics about your pitch shape and, just stuff that isn't all that interesting.
Right.
Even when I try to explain it to myself and get excited about it, it's not that interesting.
I do have a question for you, and I want to get nerdy about baseball for a second because there's two things that I've always wanted to ask you. And one is, again, one that me and my son talk about all the time. They missed on a lot of young pitchers. And we were talking about it one time, and I don't remember all their names, but they're,
whatever.
Right, whatever. But we know they drafted, whatever, six guys in the first round over the course of so many years with the old GM, and they missed on all these first-round pitchers. We were talking about it, and we watch a lot of baseball YouTube videos and sabermetric shit and stuff. And he just said something to me, and I didn't know if it was true or not, but it made sense. And he said, not all those pitchers were bad. Salvi can't frame a pitch. Salvi's really bad at framing a pitch. And so what those young pitchers needed was a catcher who could guide them better through those things. And why these guys, Cole Reagans, Seth Lugos, Waka, why these guys are fine is because they don't need Salvi to fucking sit back there and frame the pitch for them.
There's certainly truth to that. Salvi would even admit that was his focus this offseason, was becoming a better framer because, he was bad. And that was one of the things that people knocked him in as far as his Hall of Fame candidacy. So, that certainly played a role in why some of the guys didn't have immediate success at the big league level.
That seems so bizarre to me that it can be just that. It's not a little thing. For people who watch baseball, framing a pitch is the way they've changed from when I was a kid and I caught. It was like, stick it right here and don't ever move it. To now, I watch my kids catch it. And it's like, keep the glove on the ground, bring it up.
It's wild.
Bring it up. Put one knee down so the ump can see over one shoulder.
Yep.
And again, we're talking about stuff that bores millions of people. So,
but framing a pitch is just how the catcher, and I'm asking, is behind the plate and trying to help that ball look like a strike.
It's stealing strikes.
Okay.
So it was a ball and it's a strike, right? I mean, is that what we're saying?
Salvi says, if you are a young catcher, that should be what you work on.
Right.
Is framing. That should be your main focus because that is, and I've watched, dating back to spring training, that's all that Paul Hoover worked on, the Royals bench coach. It was him and Salvi. That's all we're doing all day is just working on your framing. And he's improved this season. It's starting to regress here at the end. But that plays a role. Oh, pitching philosophy within an organization certainly plays a role. I've talked to a few of those guys from that draft class that are just now starting to pan out. You know, a Chris Bubich, a Daniel Lynch, guys like that under the previous regime, when they're preaching, you know, fastball low and away, that's what we want. That's the name of the game, fastball low and away. When the games turn to elevated fastballs, sweepers, you know, horizontal movement, the Royals were also kind of behind the times as far as what they were teaching their young players. And then there's also some of them just weren't good.
They
just couldn't throw strikes. So I would say it's a combination of those three things. They've improved, though. Certainly Salvi's improved. Mm-hmm. And the pitching department is as good as ever. I mean, Michael Wacha came here and they helped him implement a new pitch. He's 10 years into his big league career. Seth Lugo, Sam Long, these guys identified the Royals and their messaging as to, I want to be a part of that. I want to learn from the guys that are now in Kansas City. And that is a complete 180 from where they were even in the championship season.
Is Freddie better at it?
At framing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Freddie.
Just because he's younger. So, you know, like, I think maybe, I don't know, nobody really talked. I mean, not that I played at their level, but, you know, you play like, you know, American Legion sports, you're playing against guys who are going to college. Everybody just talked about pop time. That was it. Like, how fast can you get the ball to second? I don't even, like, I hear him talk about it in high school and stuff, but really people who care about baseball don't really give a shit, right? Like, stealing is more on the pitcher than it is the catcher.
Correct.
Right? I mean, the way they now do the sidestep and all the other things, it's like, don't worry about that.
Yep.
Steal me, if you can steal me six strikes a game, I don't give a fuck if he steals second. Doesn't 100%. Matter, right? Right?
Yep.
I'm guessing Freddie probably being younger came up in that, so is he just better at it?
Yeah, and he, there was no guarantee for Freddie. Freddie had to be good at all of the ancillary things, all of the intangibles if he wanted a shot. Freddie, listen, I'm not a big buy the jersey guy, especially for a dude younger than me. But if I was, I think Freddie for me would be that guy because of the dedication that he put in, the way that he, you know, put an ego aside and would just follow in the footsteps of Salvi and become good at all the things that Salvi maybe lacked in to find his spot at the big league level. Yeah, I love Freddie Fermin as a person and as a ball player. Not only framing, but throwing out runners. He's as good as they come right now.
Right. All right. So, how much fun do you have? That's the, like, you get to go to the ballpark every day. We always talk about it. We have a really good job, man. We just come in here and tell dick jokes, play some music, fuck around, have some drinks, right? It's a great fucking job, but still a job.
Got any of those 99 bananas laying around here?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do.
Nice. Terrific.
There you go.
How about it?
There you go, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I think it's green apple, too. It's one of the five ones.
No, we'll save that. You got to have something for the show.
Okay.
Got to have something for the show.
I forget what I was. Is it still a job for you? Or is it like, it sounds to me like you grew up, like you love baseball the way I love baseball.
Yeah.
And you're like, do you get there every day and you're like,
yes.
Fucking cool.
Yeah. I always go in the dugout, just sit up on the railing and just kind of drink it all in. And then occasionally, you know, you see an Aaron Judge walk out, you bump shoulders with a Shohei Ohtani. No, man, there was a time, you know, back in 17 or 2018 where maybe I was full of myself and thought I was doing something special or, you know, you grow up a little bit and you realize, yeah, man, this is everything I've always wanted.
Right.
To be in a big league ballpark with the best players in the world, even when the Royals are bad, you know, Trout's on the other team or someone's on the other team that I want to watch. And it's just the perfectly manicured lawn. I mean, growing up, I was too embarrassed to say I wanted to be in radio because
that's what I was going to ask you. Were you able to say it out loud that that's what you wanted to do when you were a kid? Because it is a tough thing to say. They say, "What do you want to be?" You have to have something realistic. I always said I wanted to be a train engineer, and then they leave me alone. But you know, you say you want to be an actor. You want to.
I said a judge.
Yeah,
careers class. I'm like, I'm going to be a judge.
When you want a cool job that's hard to get, it's almost best that you just. Don't tell anyone.
I was planning on being like a groundskeeper. Just any way to get into a ballpark. I was like, yeah, I could rake a bunch if you guys need me, you know, whatever you need me to do.
That's so cool that that was your dream. And,
yeah, and there you are. Yeah. And by the way, you're great at it, man.
Well, that's very nice of you guys.
If you weren't great at it, I think you know us well enough that we just wouldn't say it.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd say you're not great at it.
You might.
I might.
I told my wife this when Snow Cone reached out to have me on. I'm like, I think they just recorded a spec spot. They're just trying to do me a solid because they know I'm frustrated with other people. So I think they're just throwing me a bone.
No, man. We are huge fans.
Yeah.
Huge fans. We appreciate you coming in, man.
My pleasure.
It is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah, and I think it's going to remind, you know, Slim, you mentioned, you know, you're either a baseball town or a football town. I think every city is, if you have an NFL team, you're a football town. But baseball is, you know, baseball's your first love, right? I think most sports fans can quickly acknowledge the love that you have for baseball, while football might be your master. There's a... baseball's your sexy mistress.
There's something magical about it, for sure. And
I hope you're right, man.
Yeah.
A playoff run would be fun, right?
It makes me even more excited. I wish I could watch the games. I wish there was some sort of evidence that had already come out that showed, hey, these decisions that they made insofar as, you know, restricting access to watching the games on TV has hurt them. And here, you know, it's demonstrable. We can show it to you. But because I can't imagine that it helps other than short term. Maybe somebody made a few bucks. But I would just think when you talk to all the people that Laz and I talk about this, walking around my neighborhood, you know, I bought my house in 2009 for years. Every night when I walked my dogs around the neighborhood, every house in the neighborhood had the games on. This is when they weren't great. The games were on. People turned them on. I don't see that ever now. Ever. No. That's a drastic change.
What about the other entertainment options? I mean, 14, 15. Netflix wasn't mailing them to you back in 14 and 15, but it wasn't as.
Right.
Right, I don't know. I still think there's something about, you know, the civic pride and the
baseball. I think there's something about we forget, and I think baseball forgets. But they have it, and I wish they would understand that they have it. People say, we're doing a podcast now, but why does radio still matter? I can listen to a podcast whenever I want. Yeah, but if you listen to it live on the radio, you're doing it. Even if you're by yourself with a community of people,
you become
part of something.
Yeah.
It's happening, you're watching it, you're listening to it, and you're a part of something. If you're listening to this now, you're listening to it on your own.
Yep.
It feels different. When baseball's on,
everybody's watching.
You're part of something. You're part of a community. You're doing it together. It doesn't matter if it's a Wednesday night or a Friday night. Baseball can bring communities together, even when they're separate. If I'm watching something on Netflix, I don't know it takes us till tomorrow to figure out if you watch the same thing. Well, man, when I'm watching a Royals game, I know people are watching a Royals game, and I know that we all just cheered when Bobby fucking smashed that thing over the left field. Well, we all did it fucking together.
You can hear the neighborhood
cheer. And that's
cheer.
What makes it better than anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just, you know, I feel like they kind of lost that. But when you talk about it and you think about it, I hope that they'll get back to that. I mean, of course.
I do, too. And people are creatures of habit, too. So turning the game on also reminds you that it's spring, that it's summer. Yes, we have all these entertainment options, but everybody goes home and does the same thing. It's like, what the hell am I going to watch tonight? But with those games being on, it was, like Lazo says, you're a part of it.
Yeah.
And it's also, this is what I do in the summer.
Right. This is what I do in the spring.
Yeah.
This is part of me.
Just like I go to the pumpkin patch in the fall and I open the windows around the time the first regular season.
And I watch the best player in baseball.
Yeah.
So do you think people get comfortable with it not being a part of their everyday routine?
This season has
now made it to where, I can live without that.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
Even though it's great. That's what I'm afraid.
Yeah. That would be the ultimate worry. And yet, all it would take is 2 wins in 3 weeks.
Win that wild card series. You're right. And people will be back in.
Cheering in the neighborhood again.
People will be back in, man. Right. I honestly believe it when I say it. You're the best in the business, man. And I appreciate you stopping in here. I have so many questions for you because I listen all the time.
Yeah.
You do such a good job, and I'm going to let you after this, on the postgame show. You do a great job on the pregame show. But on the postgame show, I understand radio, so I understand how the, like, if you listen to it, I understand how the production works and all these things, right? I'm like, oh, that, but I can figure it out in my head. In the post, are you taking notes the entire time you're watching the game? And because the way you just rattled off, all, I always thought, well, he's got a book and he's just, you know. But the way you rattled off everything here without even thinking, I was like, maybe he does just remember what happened on the second pitch of the sixth inning in this game, and he's just talking about it. Or now, is it just, you have a notebook of meticulous notes?
Yeah, I have the scorebook and then a blank sheet of paper that I just write down almost verbatim exactly how I saw it so then I could repeat it in my own terminology. Yeah, yeah. It's, again, man, I've been a nerd, you know, baseball nerd since I was little. So, yeah, diving into numbers, diving into, you know, the whatever statistic I throw out here, I've written it down probably five times to where it's
right.
It's pathetic how often I try to shoot.
What is your when we first met, you weren't married.
Correct. Yeah.
You've got married, so congratulations.
Oh yeah.
Does your wife just look at you sometimes and be like, quit being a fucking dork?
Well, she's accepted it by now. Right. We met on the air over 96.5 well, back when it was on 610. Yeah, Danny and C-Dot did a dating game that I was very much against.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
I said at the beginning of spring training, they were like, please do it. I'm like, I'll never do that. How embarrassing. I'll never do it. you know what? And this was coming off when Mike Moustakas hit 211. I said, I'll do it if Mike Moustakas hits 300 at the All-Star break. Because he's never going to do that.
Sure.
And then he did. And then he started to go to the opposite field.
So you owe Mike Moustakas.
You're kidding. Moose is part of
this.
Did
you ever send him a thank you card? Like he's
no, because he... And I'm hoping he's different now, but he was kind of a blockhead, and I don't think he would have understood that. I'm saying thanks. I think he would have been offended by it.
All right. Hey, man, thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
And that is it. Thank you so much for listening. Toxic and Problematic is brought to you by Mitra 9 Kratom and Kava. Visit Mitra-9.com and use promo code PROBLEMATIC for 25% off your order. Thank you to Direct Computer Outlet in Mission, Kansas for making our Twitch stream possible. Music graciously provided by Kid Computer. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.